Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time to gather in your name and your presence. Lord, you've blessed us with the gift of speech, of tongues, of being able to communicate with each other. And Lord, that's a difficult task for us. We lean on your Holy Spirit in that task. Lord, open our hearts and our minds this morning to the word you'd have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So on February 26, 2024, a grass fire started in the Texas Panhandle near this little bitty town called Stennett. Anyone ever heard of Stennett? All right, some Panhandle people. So it started in Stennett, and fueled by high winds and tons of dry grass, by the 24-hour mark, this fire had reached 500,000 acres burned. And it kept going, and it entered into Oklahoma and burned thousands of more acres within that state as well. Took crews 3 weeks to fully extinguish the fire. And you always say, what is the toll from this fire? What happened? 130 homes destroyed, 2 lives lost, and an estimated 1.1 million acres of land burned. It's hard to even wrap the mind around that, right? So someone created this map. They took the burn space in the red there, and they placed it over this familiar image of us of Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. So you can see the massive amount of land that was burned up and destroyed by this one grass fire that just started in one little town in Texas. The cause of the fire: one power pole rotted at its base, fell over, and brought charged lines into that dry grass. One power pole led to over 1.1 million acres of land being destroyed, the largest wildfire in Texas history. Now, for most of us living here in Collin County, in these suburbs, grass fires aren't much of a thing, are they? It's way too much concrete. It's not enough fuel, right? But we still have grass fires. Now, these aren't like the conventional fires like this one we just talked about that started by a down power line or a strike of lightning of something of that nature. But the fires we face are started by something perhaps a little more subtle, but just as destructive: the tongue. Devastation brought into the lives of others by the words that we speak. And like a conventional fire, once these things get going, they bring tremendous harm into the lives of other people. So if we look back at our text, our James text, James addressed this source of devastation. He wrote, "So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell." These are hard words by James, sobering words. When we read these and we hear these, we'd like to duck down in our chair a little bit, slide down and let those words go over our head, hit someone behind us, not us. But we know that these words apply to us because we have felt and witnessed these words in our own lives. We have seen fires started by things like one foolish word, a poorly written email, a text message fueled by sinful intentions, a reckless comment in passing, a moment of office hallway gossip. We've seen it in a biting, foolish, ill-advised, selfish word that lands in the ears of another person. And sometimes we're the recipient of these words, right? Other times, we're the distributors. And read this text and we think some things never change. James wrote this somewhere around 50 AD. And here we are in 2024, and when those words from James were read, you probably thought, yep, still happens. The problem of the tongue, this reckless tool of destruction, is still a problem in bulk in our world today. I'm betting you can think back to some time past where you can remember a word that someone said to you that cut you to the bone. And you probably remember the exact words that were spoken. You probably remember the room you were in, the time of day, all these other little details about that moment, because that's what happens when someone speaks a word that cuts you to the bone. You remember it. It's vivid. It stays with you, maybe even scars you a bit. Those are painful moments, which is, I think, why James was so blunt and so direct with his words of caution and warning about this thing we know as the tongue. He doesn't hold back, does he? He speaks of the sinful damage. But being able to communicate is a wonderful gift. What a blessing to be able to talk to each other. Just go out in the lobby on Sunday morning and all the joy shared out there, it's such a gift to be able to talk with each other. Or go to a foreign country where you don't speak their language and they don't speak English and see how difficult life gets and how much you miss that ability to communicate with one another. It's a gift, but so very often, for all kinds of selfish reasons, we take this gift and we use it as a tool of abuse against each other. I do it, you do it. And when we do that, we do what James says. We set a fire ablaze, a blaze of hurt and pain in the lives of other people, those people that hear those words that we speak. We take this thing that is intended for good, that God put in the world for good, and we beat each other upside the head with it. We take this gift of communication as if it's a hammer, and every person we see around us is a nail. We just pound on each other. Jesus was big on communication during his earthly ministry, wasn't he? Four Gospels. Four books of the Bible center on the words that our Lord Jesus spoke. There were moments when he spoke a lot. There were moments when he spoke very, very little. But all throughout his earthly ministry, all throughout his speaking, not once did our Lord Jesus speak a word that was sinful. He had dinner conversations without speaking sinfully. He gave orders and instructions without speaking sinfully. He spoke words of correction without speaking sinfully. He spoke to enemies, people that were bent on killing him, without speaking sinfully. He gave sharp words of rebuke without so much as one single sinful word coming from his mouth. Our Lord Jesus, our Savior, spoke with remarkable discipline and love and kindness, and respect and compassion and understanding and forgiveness to the people around him. He was a perfect model, the perfect model for this gift of speech, this gift of the tongue that God gave to creation. And almost every time I sit down with a Bible study with folks and we're looking over the book of Gospel, almost every time someone says, gosh, Jesus always knew what to say in just the right way, in just the right moment. I wish I could be like that. Now you're probably thinking, of course he did. He was God. True, Jesus is God, God in the flesh. He's not weakened by sin like you and I are. But one of the things that Jesus said during his earthly ministry, he said, come, follow me. Come, follow me. In one sense, that is a come, follow me. I am the promised Messiah, the Savior, coming into the world to die and rise for you so that your sins would be forgiven. Follow me in belief. And so we do. We follow him in belief. We follow him into eternal life. But in another sense, that's Jesus saying, come, follow me. And mirror me. Mirror my ways. Act as I have acted. Speak as I have spoken. Love as I have loved. And let me stress this. This is not Jesus saying, be me. This is not Jesus saying, be me. We know there's only one Jesus. There's only one God in the flesh. There's only one perfect human being to ever walk this earth. But Jesus is saying, be like me. I've set this example for you. Now follow it. Jesus set the standard for this life, perfectly lived out. He perfectly fulfilled God's law so that you and I could be seen as righteous in God's sight. He did that for us. He gave us that gift. And in response, he says, come follow me. And so in response, we follow him. Just because I'm inclined by my sinful flesh to speak hateful words in the lives of other people doesn't mean that I have to speak those hateful words. The gift of speech doesn't have to be a source of destruction and devastation in the lives of other people. It can be a source of encouragement, of joy. It can be a source of love. It can be a means of peace and reconciliation between two people that are at odds. Now, I know you might be thinking, you don't know my life. You don't know how hard I have it. You don't know how difficult my everyday is. You don't know the absolutely terrible people I have to deal with on an everyday basis. It's true. I don't know the details of your life, and I'm sorry if you have to go through that every day and it's hard. But by the fact that you are sitting here this morning, here's what I do know. The Holy Spirit lives within you. In 1 Corinthians, Paul emphatically said, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells within you?" And then Jesus referred to that same Spirit as helper. He said, "I'm sending you the helper." And that helper is going to teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. That's the thing. The Holy Spirit entered into our lives at baptism and changed us. It made us different. It transformed us to something better. This means that when we feel this urge to crush another person with our words or speak something sinful out of sinful intentions, the Holy Spirit that dwells within us makes it possible to not speak those words. The Holy Spirit takes that match out of our hands. The Holy Spirit is working lovingly, graciously, patiently, kindly in your life and mine to get us to speak more like Jesus spoke, to speak words that are kind, words that are compassionate, words that bring peace, words that reflect our Lord Jesus. Communicating with one another is a tremendous gift. What a blessing God's given us. And in that blessing, God says, "Follow me. Follow the example I've set for you. Speak with love, with compassion, with kindness, with forgiveness." And when we mess it up, and we will mess it up, the Holy Spirit that dwells within us pokes us and says, "Humble yourself." And that Holy Spirit pokes us a little bit and goes, "Go find that person. Sit down with them. Look them straight in the eye and say, 'I'm sorry. I'm sorry I spoke those words that hurt you.'" And then the Holy Spirit pokes that person you're talking to, that brother or sister, and says, "Now speak words of forgiveness." And that person says to you, "I forgive you." And then you move forward with words of peace and reconciliation, because those are the words our Lord Jesus calls for. So I'll close with this. Believe it or not, pastors struggle with words too. Words are difficult for all of us. And the one way I have found to at least kind of put a leash on my tongue, tame my tongue a little bit, is to get God's word and allow it to dwell within me. And I'm not a guy of memorization, I don't have that gift. But for some reason, some wonderful reason, the Holy Spirit put Psalm 19:14 in me recently. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." And would you believe, every time I go to grab that match and to start that fire again, that Holy Spirit pushes that psalm a lap around my head. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." May we use this gift our Lord has given us, this gift of tongues, to honor him, to lift each other up, to love each other, to support each other, to encourage each other. This world's hard enough without each one of us tearing each other down. May we let the Holy Spirit be our guide, our lead, our discipline, and our obedience in our words to each other, so that our words are a source of love and kindness, ultimately point to our Lord Jesus.
Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Let us pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us the gift of community. We thank you for blessing us with relationships, with family, with friends. And Lord, we thank you for this gift of being able to speak to each other. But Lord, we know our sinful flesh comes forward, and we know the devil likes to make an absolute playground of our lives. So Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be our constant companion, that you would guide us and lead us in the words we speak. And Lord, we go forward trusting that if we mess up, and we will mess up, that there is grace and forgiveness through your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.